good to know, isn't it? He knows what we need. All right.
God bless you this evening. It's good to be here again. Hope you are staying cool enough in this weather. It's a little cooler in here than it was last week, so that's nice. Just go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that we can come here tonight, Lord, and just gather. It's just a small group, but with believers. And Father, you promised to be with us. If you gather us together, we're here according to your word. So, Lord, we expect you to be here, Father. We expect to see your presence, to feel your presence, to hear your word speaking. Lord, I ask that the word that would go forth now would be just exactly the way you want it said, Lord, in the right spirit, and that the hearts would be ready to receive it, Father, and that it would have an eternal effect on each person here, Lord. It'll help each one, Lord, just to enter into the preaching of the word and just to call on your name and to pull on the gift, Lord Jesus, that we can walk from here, Lord, a stronger Christian than we are right now. Meet our needs, Lord Jesus. We have so many. There's so many things going on. The world is falling apart around us, Lord. Yet, Lord, we feel safe and secure in your presence, Lord. So we just thank you for this, Lord. I ask that you would come now and anoint me for this job, Lord. I ask this in your name. Amen. If you want to read along, I'm going to read out of two places, very familiar, of course. The first one is going to be in Proverbs 3, and also in Isaiah 55. So let's read a couple of verses here in Isaiah 3. We'll start at verse 5, if you would like to turn to that. Oh, I tell you what, I just heard somebody the other day saying, yeah, it's good to be a Christian. What would you do if you weren't a Christian today? I tell you, I would be insane. That's all there is to it. This world is completely lost. Proverbs 3 and 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And if you want to read along in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You will be seated if you like. So tonight, what we want to talk about, the thought is, being in control. I'm going to call this out of control, because this is where we need to be sometime, is completely out of control. What happens is we lean to our own understanding, especially when God's doing things that we don't understand what's going on, and it doesn't make sense to us. And so we start leaning to our own understanding and try to figure out what God is doing, why he's doing it this way. And sometimes it just doesn't make any sense. And so we start putting our own thoughts to it. And he turns around and says, now my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. My ways are so much different than yours, so much higher. All you can see is this tiny little the little scope that you can see through that we look for. But he said, I see the big picture. I'm over everything from eternity to eternity. I can see what's good for you. I know what's bad for you. And if you just trust me and let me take care of you, you're probably going to end up okay. But when we try to lean to our own understanding, we're wise in our own thoughts. Yeah, but I think it should be this way. I want to handle it this way. And what we try to do is we try to take control of situations where God says, you're not in control. I'm in control. Let me have this. But when we don't do that, we start thinking of our own. We start leaning to our own understanding. And he says, you're just going to mess it up. And so what we have to do so much of the time, as we're growing in Christ, we're growing as a Christian, is we're learning how to let go and trust God, because he's got this in control. He really does. You ever think of it? You know, think how, like you take a little kid, and he says, well, I want this and I want that. And you're thinking, yeah, but I know it's not good for you. Well, multiply that by a few trillion times, and that's how much God knows better than we do. And yet sometimes we get upset about things, we get tore up about things, and God's saying, I've got this all the way it's supposed to be handled, but it's not the way I want it to go, and so then I'm going to start resisting God's will and not trusting him and trying to control it with my own emotions, my own anger, my own power, my own religion, whatever it is, and pretty soon you find yourself like, well, where's God? What's going on? How come I don't have that relationship with God that I want to have? It's because we got our hands on the steering wheel instead of letting him have it completely. That's what it's human nature. It's always been that way. Sometimes we have people, we call them control freaks, you know, because they have to be in control. They are going to be in control. And then the family, they're in control. You know that old saying that if mom ain't happy, nobody's happy? That's what I'm talking about. That's funny, but it ain't funny. Because what you're saying is mom's in control. And that ain't the way it's supposed to be. It ain't supposed to be dad either. It ain't supposed to be the pastor. Like Brother Jerry said, he said, it ain't been me all these years. He said, it's been God. I'm just the one he's speaking through. That's the way it has to be for every one of us within our lives. And get to the point where we realize it ain't me running the show. It's God working through me. You want to be a good parent? That's how you go about it. You want to be a good worker? That's how you go about it. You want to be a good mom or whatever it is? That's how you go about it. Is you recognize it's not me running the show. God's running the show. And you're gifted to do whatever you're doing. And so if you have a gift there, if you will yield that to God, he can use that, and you can look at it and say, I know this ain't me, because look what this is accomplishing. Look what's happening here. I recognize this is God using the gift to be a mom, to be a dad, to be a provider, whatever it is, and he's taking care of it, and it's just me, just kind of like, I'm just along for the ride. But man, that's hard on human nature. That is hard to do, because you hurt my feelings, or something else going wrong. I don't like the way this has happened. I don't like the way my husband's treating me. I don't like all these kind of things. And so we try to control it ourselves. Listen to what the prophet said. He said, did you ever notice when you're driving with somebody else? There are just all kinds of mistakes that they make. You push the floorboard out on the other side almost trying to stop the car yourself. Y'all know you've done that. He said, and in your mind you say, well, why did he do that? Or why did he turn this way? I would have done it so-and-so. Why? Because we kids have a hard time allowing someone else to be in control of that car sometime. And oh my goodness, look at, you're going to get us killed. No, it's just, that's the way human nature is. He said, that's just the nature of man. He wants his own way. God did not make man to desire his own way. God made man to depend on him. Especially after the fall. Oh my goodness, you're going to trust your own nature? Please don't. He said, to forsake his way, to crucify his way, he likened us unto sheep. A sheep is one animal that cannot find his own way. He must be led. A little lamb can lose himself from the fold. He'll just totally lost. He just stands there and bleats. The problem with us is when we start getting backslid, we get away from the fold, we're sitting getting away from God, we try to fix it by going ahead, I'm going to go ahead and do this, I'm going to try and get back to God, I'm going to do this, instead of just standing there and bleeding, say, God, come and help me, because I'm in a bad situation, and instead of that, we try to fix it ourselves. He said, that's the way it was a human being. If he becomes a lamb, if his nature is changed, he depends wholly upon God and upon God's leading. But the earth man, that's our old nature. When Adam realized he had fallen from that estate where God had him totally depending on him, Adam quickly showed his second nature, his fallen nature. He wanted a way back to be redeemed, but he wanted to do it his way after his own thinking. That's the way human beings are. Well, this ain't working. I don't think God's got in control. I don't think God would allow that to happen. I don't think God is taking care of this the way I want. And so we put our hands on and try to fix it. He said, I trust that the church will understand this, that we have no right to use your own thinking about things. When we become Christians, we totally surrender every bit of our mental powers to God and follow after his leading. Follow after his leading. Every bit of your mental power. Quit thinking on your own. Quit trying to figure it out. Trust God. Find out what his will is, and then you know what to believe. When we become Christians, we totally surrender every bit of our mental power to God, follow after his leading. And as long as we try to go after our own feeling, then we are using the fallen state of the being. When we go by our feelings, well, I feel this way. Well, I'm feeling tore up about this. Well, I got this feeling about that. And when you take that old natural feeling and you try to let your feelings lead you, you're being led by your own nature. Because God led Adam before the fall, and after the fall, Adam wanted to lead God. God, look at these fig leaves I made. Doesn't this make up for it? Doesn't this cover my religion? Are you going to accept my religion? He said, no, I don't accept your religion, because that's leaning to your own understanding. I already got this figured out. He said he wanted to make himself a religion. And as we see that he wanted to do it himself, he wasn't willing to wait on God and say, Lord, you led me before this. Now I'm fallen. I'm lost. Help me and show me how to get back to you, Lord. We'd have never had all this trouble we got if he would have just done that. Because we go by our feelings. I feel so bad about a situation. I feel whatever. I feel. Friends, that's what this whole world is based on right now, is everything is about feelings. Your feelings are more important than the facts. It doesn't matter what science says. They say follow the science until it goes against your feeling. Then they say take your feeling. That's what's gotten into the church. We take our feelings over the word. We take our feelings, how we want things to go on, instead of what the word says, and then we find ourselves all messed up. I went too far already. He said, people have their own beliefs drawn out today, what they think that they're going to be and the way it's going to be. It'll come just according to that, or they won't believe it. If you don't have the church you want, you're not going to accept it. If you don't preach the way you want to preach, you don't accept it. It's got to come the way that you want it. Otherwise, it's just not going to receive it. That's the reason they have their way. They thought the way Jesus was coming first, they had it all mapped out. He was going to come against the Roman Empire and scatter everything and sit on the throne of David. He didn't come that way. God usually brings things different than what we haven't mapped out. Let's get Brother Branham. You know, he said, the way you put a gift to infected, you get out of the way and let the gift have its way. That's the way, you know, that's what makes you effective, is when you get out of the way and the gift takes over and runs itself. Listen to what he's saying. He didn't even control his own gift. Here he is. He's getting ready to do the discernment, right? He said, now he promised it to me, and I believe God just exactly the way he said he would be. Now I just want to talk to the woman a moment. What did Jesus talk to the woman for? To catch your spirit. I just wanted to say a word to this woman. So he's up there, he's talking to her, he's trying to see if God will come and do the discernment. Then he says, maybe the Lord will show me something about her that I don't know. If he will, you can rejoice. If he doesn't, he's still raised from the dead anyhow. So here's a prophet up there wanting that gift to go into effect and talk to that woman and have him discern her thoughts or whatever's going on. He said, but I don't know if God's going to do it or not. Yet he trusted God. He's willing to stand there and put the word to the test because he had faith to do that. But he said, you know, many times I said, I can't control this. This isn't me at all. And when you come with an attitude, well, I'm in charge here, I'm the boss, I'm going to do this my way, you're absolutely going against God's will. You're trying to control God. You're trying to be in control. And you can read many times when Brother Branham did that. Some people think being a Christian means that we should not have any problems. Being a Christian means that God should just answer my prayer and take care of everything. This is what prosperity gospel is about, right? Because if something bad goes on, I said, what's the point of being a Christian if something bad goes on? That's the point of being a Christian, because something bad is going to go on and you have a resource when something bad goes on that you can turn to and he can take care of the problem. What if you weren't a Christian when something bad goes on? Then what are you going to do? My. We find out that attitude is trying to control God. Well, if I go to church, if I pay my tithe, if I pray enough, if I listen to enough messages, if I'm nice to people, then I'm going to have good things happen to me. That's prosperity gospel. See, that's what Job's comforters were looking at. They said, Job, the only way that you could be going through this is if you're a secret sinner, because God doesn't allow bad things to happen to good people. What a lie. That's ridiculous. Bad things happen to everybody. Bad things happen to everybody, friends, and even sometimes it looks worse for believers. But they're coming there and got accused of being a secret sinner, friends, because, you know, God wouldn't allow that to happen. Look, Brother Branham, when he lost his wife and his little girl, what was that all about? God was punishing him. God was chasing him. He said, you didn't do what I told you to do. You know why he didn't do it? His feelings. He didn't want to have to hurt his wife's feelings or get between him and his mother-in-law, and his mother-in-law said that. He said, I just want to have peace in the family, so I'm not going to go preach to the Pentecostal like God told him to do. God punished him for it. He took away his wife and his kid. He said, well, it seems really strong to me, but you know what? That taught that prophet a lesson. He said, well, then if you're doing bad stuff, God's going to punish you. No, he's not. He's going to punish you for disobeying, not because you do make mistakes. There's a big difference. If you make a mistake, but you're repenting, you come to God and you say, you know, I'm sorry, and you repent, God doesn't sit there and say, okay, stand by, I'm going to kick you in the teeth. No, he doesn't. He punishes you. He disciplines you when you have a bad attitude towards him and when you flat out disobey what he said. Then, yeah, you're going to get something coming at you. But now look at Job. He did everything right. And still look what happened to him. You say, it doesn't make sense. Job did everything right, and look what he went through. Brother Branham made mistakes. Look what he went through. Both of them paid dearly. What are you trying to do, figure out God? See what happens when you try to, we try to make it make sense in our own mind. Well, if you do this, it's going to happen this way. If you do that, it's not going to happen. And yet David in Psalms, he said, you know, you see the evildoers and they're just spreading out. They're just being blessed and all this stuff happened. And yet they're living like devils. You can see it all around you. Look at everyone you go around Nashville, people are making money so fast they don't have any way to spend it all. And yet you look at them, you say, but they're living terrible lives. They're so immoral. And yet they're being blessed. Yeah, because God pours out his blessings on the good and the bad. He doesn't just go, well, if you're a bad person, I'm gonna give you curses, and if you're a good person, I'm gonna give you blessings. That's not the way it works. Everyone is subject to whatever God pours out on you, and all he wants us to do is go ahead and accept the way he sends it. You can't go by feelings. Look, faith is not trying to convince God to change his mind. So many times when we pray, God, change your mind. Change your mind. That's not the way you're supposed to pray. You say, Brother Phil, I think it is. Let me tell you what the prophet said. He said, I was riding with a man not long ago. He said, think of it. We here on this earth, the way we are, and we only know or can only say that we're saved by some Jewish fable called the Bible. I said, sir, I don't know why you say that. I don't believe it's a Jewish fable. He said, well, what do you pray to? I asked for so-and-so and certain things. I didn't get it. What's he trying to do? He's trying to control God. God, I'm asking for you this, so you will give this to me. He's trying to control God. That's not the way you're supposed to pray. Brother Branham said, you pray wrong. Well, you're supposed to pray for things you want, right? You're supposed to pray for what God's will is. He said, we should never pray to change God's mind. We should pray to change our mind. God's mind don't need any changing. It's right. And so that's why you pray about it. You see, God, what do you want in this situation? Do you want me to get a new job? Are you going to heal this disease? Are you going to take care of this situation? How do you want to handle this? And then find out what his will is. And then when he tells you what his will is, you know what to believe. And then you can have faith for it. And if you're praying, you're sick about something, and he tells you, by my stripes you're healed, then you can go from there claiming your healing all the time. And then when you're praying, you're not trying to change his mind. Please heal me. He's already just told you he has healed you, and all you're doing is just claiming his promise. It's not trying to change his mind. And then if he says, no, I'm not going to heal you, you're going to die. Can you accept that? Can you accept his perfect will? I know a young Catholic boy one time had a prayer book saying prayers for his mother to live, and she died. He threw the prayer book in the fire. He said, I don't go for the prayer book, but anyhow, you take the wrong attitude. You're trying to tell God what to do. That's the wrong attitude. You don't tell God what to do. You find out what his will is, and then you accept that. He said, prayer should be, Lord, change me to fit your word, not let me change your mind. You change my mind. You change my mind to your will, and your will is written here in the book. And Lord, don't let me go till you got my mind just set like your mind. You know, the problem is most people do. We don't pray enough to even know what God's will is. We go to God with a prayer, and it's like a laundry list. Oh, I got to do, pray for this, pray for this, pray for this, pray for this. And that's not what it's about, friends. Sure, you pray for people. You pray for God bless them and whatever in the situation is. But friends, we got to get to the place where our relationship with Christ is. When he speaks, we understand what he's saying, and we wait till we hear his voice, and then we can walk in faith, because when he reveals what his will is, then we know exactly what to believe and how to walk, how to handle a situation. My. He said, then when my mind is set like your mind, then I'll believe every word you wrote. That's what makes you a believer, when you know his will. Until you know his will in a situation, you're not a believer yet, because you don't know what to believe, and you might be believing the wrong thing. He said, and you said in here, you'd make everything work together for good to them that love you. I love you, Lord. It's working together for the good. You're not trying to control God. You say, well, this bad thing happened. God's got it all in control. Didn't we just sing that song? He's got it all in control. Oh, that's hard to understand sometimes when something horrible happens, something bad happens. But how can that be? How can it be in control and you'd allow that to happen? That's ridiculous. Do you have a greater mind? Do you understand more than he does? He knows more than us, friends. He knows what's going to happen down the road. He allows it. The key for us is find his will and believe it and accept it. Can you do that? Can you accept it? But God, this is terrible. This is happening. This person did this. This person said that. And all the time God said, I allowed that to happen. Being a Christian is not for sissies, friends. I've said that many times. You want to be a real Christian, you're going to have to be a soldier. You got to put on some faith muscles. Brother Bram says this. He said, the thing with people is the way God appears. Many times we want to make an idol out of God. We ask God to do something, then he must do it just the way we ask, or we'll say he never answered. When we do that, we weaken our faith in God. We weaken our testimony when we do not take him at his word. God always answers. Period. God always answers. You say, I prayed about something God never answered. Yes, he did. Maybe you just didn't know his voice when he spoke, or maybe he said something you didn't want to hear, and then so you say, well, he didn't answer me. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says, it ain't going to work that way. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Everything, everyone that asks will receive. Everyone that seeks will find. Everyone that knocks, it'll be open to him. But sometimes you got to keep knocking. You got to keep asking, because sometimes he don't answer when you want him to. Sometimes he don't answer for a long time. And you keep praying and keep seeking. You say, Phil, I've been seeking about this for a long time. God hasn't told me anything yet. Well, are you impatient? Just keep asking. Just keep seeking. He's testing your faith. He's causing your faith to grow. And if you will just keep seeking and keep asking, Jesus said, you will find. Now, either believe that or don't. It's either true or it's not. And if he said, if you keep asking, keep knocking, the door will be open. Then if you quit before that, don't sit there and call yourself a believer. He said, that's the only way I've always found it that I can get anything from God is take him at his word and believe it the way he sends it. That's the key. You believe it the way he sends it. You hear his voice, you listen for it, and sometimes it's not going to be what you expect, and it can come through anybody and anything. He uses anything to talk to you that he wants to, and anybody. Sometimes he humbles us down by who he sends it to, because we got to say, I've had people like I work with, you know, just sinners or, you know, people not even Christians, and they'll say something to me, and I know that was God speaking through them, and boy, that'll just needle you, because they're bringing some kind of rebuke or something. Oh, I'm supposed to be a Christian. Well, do you humble yourself and accept it, or you lash back out at them? Oh, my. He says that's the way he answers our prayer, in the way he thinks is best. His way is always right. If we ask for anything, it doesn't happen just the way we think God ought to let it happen, then that makes us lose and fall back. Let's ask God, stand firm on the word and say it's true. Just receive it the way he sends it. That's the way you got to believe it. It may come disguised. It may come another way, a roundabout way, but no matter where it comes, if we have asked, we shall receive. God said so, and that settles it forever. God said so. If you will just hold on in faith and believe the word, you say, what am I supposed to believe? First of all, believe that he's going to answer you. Surely he's answered enough prayers by now. Surely you've seen him in your life enough to know that he is aware of you. He's with you. He's taking care of you. So you know that if you will sit there and stay in prayer until he answers, he's going to answer sooner or later. But when we don't get the answer when we want, we go on trying to control and do it on our own. Say, well, God ain't really told me what to do, so I'm just going to try it this way. Good luck. Wait for him. He'll tell you what to do. And sometimes he'll say, hey, do it the way you feel best. Sometimes he'd give that to you too. Do what you want to do in certain situations. But you better make sure he's telling you that. Oh, my. We insist on he does things our way. Remember the Syrophoenician woman? She came to Jesus. She had that sick daughter. She was a Gentile. And he turns and he rebukes her. He said, man, I ain't even talked to you. Right? Have you ever heard God talk to you like that? I haven't. He sits silent, but I've never had him call me a dog or something like that. Watch. Jesus said, I'm not sent to your race, giving her a test. She had an awful time getting to him. Sometimes we have an awful time getting to him because you know why? Because Satan hates when you pray. Tell me that you don't know that, but to be true. When you go to pray, everything starts coming up. You start getting all these thoughts in your mind, and all of a sudden this happens, and this phone call comes. Satan hates when you pray. It's the most powerful weapon you have. This is your communication between you and God. And without that in place, then you're going to lose communication. You're just going to wander around. And yet, how many times do we just let something else come and take us away from praying? What if you had to get up every Sunday and say how much you prayed during that week? How many times would you be embarrassed? How many people actually just take time and pray? I'm convinced not a lot. Satan hinders it. He hates it. So she had an awful time getting to him, and sometimes we have an awful time praying through because there's so much on our mind. But when she got to him, then she had a disappointment. I'm not sent here, right? They say, well, as soon as God gets here, everything's going to be just fine, and then everything's going to be taken care of because he's here. Let me ask you this. Have you ever come to church, and the Spirit is flowing, the word's being preached, people worshiping, and you're sitting there just as cold and empty as can be, and you're looking around and say, why is this happening? Why come I don't get anything today? You ever been there? I've been there so many times. It's horrible. And you feel so backslid. And yet you look at your life and say, I'm not backslid. Why do I feel this way? Because he's not blessing you with his presence. But that person's getting it, and that person getting it. And you finally got here, and you had it on your heart. God, I got to get something for you today. And you're sitting here, and it's such a disappointment. The church service is over, and you walk out and says, man, I didn't get anything today. Yes, you did. You got yourself a trial. What you going to do with that? What you going to do with that disappointment? Are you going to go home and feel sorry for yourself? Are you going to take it out on your family because you're in a bad mood now because you didn't get what God wanted you? Or are you going to take God out of his word and say, God, you answer every time I pray. I didn't get it today. I didn't get what I wanted today, but I'm going to still be here. And next time the doors are open, I'll be back. That's the attitude a believer has. But when she said, Lord, help me, he said, it's not me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Listen to this. Lord, that's true. Faith will always admit the word right. True, Lord, but I only want crumbs. That person might be dancing in the spirit. That person might be shouting. That person might be singing the lungs out. But if I could just have a crumb, just come, just brush by me just a little bit. Just something to know that you're still aware that I'm here. Sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes, you know, that comes in the form is a brother comes by and just taps you on the shoulder and says, I'll be praying for you, brother, and walks away. Have no clue why they said it, but you know it was God doing that. Oh, my goodness, if we'd be led by the Spirit, how much more encouraging would we be for each other? He said, that ain't the modern believer today. You'll come right down and do it the way I want you, or I just won't receive it. That was the way Naaman was. He said, well, I want to be healed, but I ain't going to do what he said. That's the same way we do so many times. I want to have the kind of service that I want to have. And if it doesn't come the way that I want it, then why, we just didn't have service today. I'm sorry. Who put you in charge? Who put me in charge? Nobody. Oh, my. Let me keep going. Got a few things to talk about yet. Brother Bram said he was having a Bible study. You've read this quote, you've heard it preached on. He said, we're talking about love. There's a certain person said to me, I believe you're an antichrist. I said, if that would be pleasing to my Lord, that's what I want to be. I want to be whatever he wants me to be. What a statement. If he's saying, if God raised me up to be Judas, then I want to be the best Judas I can be. If I was raised up to be an antichrist, let me be that, because that's what's pleasing to him. He said, I want to be whatever he wants me to be. I love him. And if he should cast me into hell, I still will love him if I go with the same spirit that I have now. That spirit on him, that spirit of Christ loved him, and it was willing to take whatever his will is, no matter what it cost him. He said, he looked at me kind of strange. I bet he did. I would have too. I still look at that kind of strange and say, am I there yet? Have I got to that point where God, I say, I'll serve you, I'll be a Christian, I'll do whatever you want, but at the end, if you throw me to hell, I'll still do it anyways. Well, what other options do you have, friends? What are you going to do, run out there into the world and just try to live it up and be happy and running with the world? You know better than that. He said, he kept going, same situation. He he said there was four or five young men there. They had young wives and fine women. They loved them. I'm just going to skip a little just to save time. He said, now let's say you dreamed that we are, he said, you dreamed that we were married. The man is talking to the woman. He's making this as a scenario. It didn't really happen, right? He said, I dreamed that we were married. We had children. We lived happy and waiting for the coming of the Lord and everything. And then this girl would say to you, you know, I love another man better than I love you. I could be happier with the other man. So this guy said, now, before you got married, if you dreamed that you had married her and you told her about it, she said, well, nice dream, but I really love this other guy better than I love you. Boy, that would be fun. He said, could you from your heart love her well enough to say, God's blessing rest upon you, my dear. Go with this other man. Y'all are married, been married, whatever the situation is. Could you do that from your heart when you were young and in love? You're still in love. I'm not saying that. But could you have said to that person, go ahead, go marry someone else? Brother Wayne's sitting really still right now. Oh, my. Now, check that, each of you men or you women. He said, check it. If your love is correct, you do that, for you're interested in her welfare. That's correct love. That's agape love. That's the kind of love that's going into rapture. You know, you could have her, you could live with her, she'd marry you, but she won't be happy. She'd be happier with that other person. And then if you love her, then you want her to be happy. Therefore, whatever the will of God is, let God's will be done, whether I'm happy with it or not. There's the problem, friend. That's the battle we face so many times. It's because God has a will for us, but it doesn't make us happy, so we resist it. But I want this guy, but I want. Are you wanting him to be happy or you want yourself to be happy? If your love is correct, you'll go ahead and accept it. I want to live so he will be pleased with me, with what I do. Therefore, check your objective and your motive by that. You know whether you love God or not. Let me read that again. Check your objective and your motive by that. Are you willing to be him be happy even if you're not happy? And if you're not, then you don't love God. He said that way. He said, you know whether you love God or not. You say, well, what if he say, you serve me, but I'm going to cast you away. I love you anyhow. That's the love of God. That's why when bad things happen and God lets you go through these horrible things and we look around and say, this is killing me. This is tearing my heart out. This is just more than I can stand. He said, do you want me to be happy or do you want to be happy? Do you love me the right way? Do you love me with God's love, or is this still some kind of Job's comforters influencing you? Well, if you were a good person, if you weren't sinning, then God would not be doing this to you. You're doing something wrong, and sometimes it's not the truth at all. You are doing exactly what God wants you to do. He leads you right down into that dark pit of despair and agony. And then you say, well, but I love you anyways. If this is what I need to go through, then let me go through it. Let me go through whatever I have to go through in order to please him, because I know he's not going to put me through something just chaotic, let me try this. There's always a reason for it. There's a purpose for that trial, and God's going to bring you through that, and you're going to be closer to him than you were before if you have the right attitude. If you have a wrong attitude, it ain't going to happen. You say, well, I don't know about that, Brother Phil. Let me tell you something. I do. Because if you're born again, that is already birthed into you. My. Whether you like it or not, you'll come to this place. Whether you're there now or not, you will come to that place where you are so dead to yourself and agape love is flowing through you to such an extent that you will look at it and say, yes, I know that's true because I've done it. There's something inside that's greater than my own desire, greater than my own human being, my own nature, my own human love. That's what I want to say. And there's something there. And even though I go through these hard times, it still keeps me going, and I still love God.
Let me give you a personal example here. I hope this is okay for me to say that. Back when Brother Tim died, Sister Joyce, she said, how can I trust God now? After he let that happen. Well, look where she's at. She's sitting right there. She found out that in the midst of that is when you can trust God. Is that easy? No. That's brutal. That rips your heart out. But love constrains you, and here you come anyways, and you still trust him, and you still love him, because it's not human love. John 11:3, talking about when Lazarus died, right? He was sick. Let me just read this. Therefore, his sister sent him to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place he was. Now, I want to break this down a little bit. In verse 3, it said, his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him who thou lovest is sick. That word they were using is phileo love, human love. They're appealing to his human love for Lazarus. Where it said, now Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus, that's agapeo love. That's why he didn't come running. Think about it. If he would have been going by his human love, as soon as he knew he was sick, he'd have been on his way. Tell him I'm coming. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to raise him up. He's going to be fine. But he loved God. He loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary with agape love. And so even though he knew what it was going to cost them, even though it's going to cost him, even though he knew the sorrow and the anguish they're going to go through, he did not go. Godly love kept him away because he knew that God's will was for Lazarus to die. Even though it's going to cost the pain and that heartbreak for those girls and the pain of dying for Lazarus, all the trouble, all the anguish, and yet because he loved them, he did not go. Can you imagine if your pastor that you call for him to come, he said, God's telling me not to come pray for you. You get a new pastor. Well, that's not the way I want my church to run. Your church. Your pastor. God puts this in place, friends. People jump church and all other kind of things because they're trying to control the situation. He would not be controlled by his human love. He wouldn't do it. And he did what he had to do, even though it caused all kinds of pain. It's the same thing when you chasing your kids. You have to spank them sometime, whatever. If you enjoy spanking your kid, you got a problem, right? But if it breaks your heart to have to do it, and yet you do it anyways because godly love compels you, that's kind of what it's like. This is what I'm talking about. But let's look at this a little bit further. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, I'm sorry, let me go back up. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So that runner, that messenger, he comes to Jesus. He said, Martha said, him whom thou lovest is sick. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Oh, good. I'll go back and tell Martha that. He runs back to Martha. Hey, Martha and Mary, hey, Jesus said it's not to, he's not even coming right now. He said it's not to death. Don't worry about it. He didn't say don't worry about it. He said it's not to death. It's for the glory of God. And so Mary and Martha and Lazarus all in, well, praise God. Hallelujah. He said, I'm not going to die. That's what he said. He said, I'm not going to die. It's not to death. He got worse. He sent again. Jesus didn't come. It's not to death. Can you imagine when Lazarus, oh my goodness, Lazarus is laying there, he's gasping, the doctor's saying, he's dying. And Martha and Mary said, no, he's not. Jesus said he can't die. It's not to death. He's not going to die. Jesus said he's not going to die. He takes his last breath, and he's dead. And they're staring at it in unbelief. And that doctor turns to him and says, your false prophet Jesus lied to you. he's dead. Can you imagine what was going through their minds? Can you imagine they looked at each other like, Jesus said it's not to death. He can't be dead. This doesn't make sense. It can't be this way because he said this here and here this something opposite happened. That's what people take and use this message. Well, Brother Branham said this, it didn't happen that way. And Brother Branham said this, it didn't happen that way. And Brother Branham said this, and I don't understand it this way. And that doesn't make sense. He said one thing here, he said something else there. Go ahead, try to figure it out with your human mind. See where you end up. I tell you what, you won't end up in the rapture, that's for sure. God does these things on purpose so we quit leaning to our own understanding. Because to lean to your own understanding, then Lazarus could not have died. And he died. Think about it, friends. What was going through their mind? Then all of a sudden here they get the news. Hey, Jesus is coming out. Oh, now he's coming. Now he's coming. Brother Branham said this about Martha. She had a right to upbraid him and say, why didn't you come? I called you. I left my church. I left my organization. I left my friends. I quit the card party. I didn't go at the bunco game no more. I left it. Every bit of it, I come believing in you. My, isn't that the attitude of people? All I done, and look what you allowed to happen. I've been a Christian for all this time, and now look what you done. Said, I left everything and followed you. And when I needed you, you didn't come. I know you felt that way. I know you've all felt that way when something's going on. You say, I'm a Christian. I'm trying to serve you. And when I needed you, you weren't there for me. I prayed and I prayed and I asked you, and you just sat silent. When I sent, you ignored me and went on. I sent again and you ignored me. Looked like she would have had an argument with him. But she forgot all about it. She wanted to get to him. That's the reason she got what she asked for. Humble yourself. What if Martha would have said when she heard Jesus after she went to come to pray for Lazarus had been dead 4 days? What if she had run out and said, I thought we were believing something? She had a right to upbraid him, you know, because he had failed to come when they called. But you see, she had the right approach. She went to him and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, even now, whatever you say, you can have. Even now, you can raise him up. Even now, you're still the Lord of death. You're still in charge. You're still the Messiah. You're still the Son of God. Even now, it did not make any sense because he had said he's not going to die. And there he was dead for 4 days. And yet her faith anchored because it wasn't something that someone had taught her up here. It wasn't some theology that she learned at church. It wasn't some tape she listened to. But it was something that had anchored in her heart. And she knew that couldn't be shaken, and she knew he was the Son of God, he was the Messiah, and no matter what happened, she knew that even now he was still God. That's exactly, friends, that's exactly what we have to come to. And if all you have is just a head knowledge, all you have is just something you learned from the pastor or something your mom and dad taught you, then if you come to that situation, and you will, then you would walk away from it and say there's nothing to it. But if it's something that's anchored in your heart, then when those times come, well, if everything falls away, all your theology, all your holiness, all everything you got, it'll fall away. But something inside will hold on and say, but even now you're still God. That's what a revelation does, friend. It holds you during those times when you can't understand it, when it doesn't make any sense. And he says, what, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts? He said, well, help me to understand. And he sits silent, and yet you say, yeah, but you're still Messiah. You're still my God. Every one of us, every one of you have a right to upbraid him for the things he's allowed in your life. I know that sounds harsh, but looking for just a right, look at the things he done, look at your kids, look at all the stuff that's happened. And you say, but God, you did this and I was trusting you and this bad thing happened, that bad thing happened, and yet here you sit. Here you sit all the stuff you've gone through, all the pain you've gone through, everything that's happened, and still you trust him. Why? Because something anchored down here. It wasn't just up here. That's why people are leaving the message left and right and doing all these things and coming up with all these cockamamie doctrines to believe, because it's just something that wasn't here. But once it's revealed, that new birth is quickened in you, you can't get away from it. You can't get away. Amen. Okay, we got a little time. Persistence is not trying to control God. It's not trying to change his mind. He said, well, should I not pray for, not be persistent? You should be very persistent. But the thing is, you had to find God's will and then be persistent with that. Brother Brand says this, you must first find the will of God before you can do the will of God. First know what his will is in the matter, and then don't turn it loose. You're not trying to control God when you know his will. You know, all you're asking for is what he already said his will is, what he wants done. He said, when you pray, he said, when you can pray until you pass the doubt barrier, well, then you're running free. You can go on. There's nothing can bother you because you're running free. You're past the unbelief. It's done, been settled. It's all over. When you get the assurance in your heart that it's going to be that way, you're just as happy as if it had already happened. That's not trying to change God's mind. That's not trying to control God. It's accepting his will and holding on to it till he brings it to pass. Big difference. Moses, he knew intellectually by his godly mother, our beloved sister Jochebed. He knew that he had heard her teaching in the intellectual manner, how that his life had been spared from the crocodiles. God had made him a proper child. He was born for a deliverer. Miriam, his sister, the prophets had followed him down to the beach where Pharaoh's daughter was. I'm going to skip down a little bit. And now he is going to deliver the children. Now, intellectually, he knew that. But you see that first little mistake. Oh, don't miss it, church. You might know it from a word standpoint. You might know that the Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. But you pray until God says the prayer of faith saves you. It's got to be personal to you. It's not just, well, I believe the Bible is true, but is it true for you or not? Then you can be persistent. Then nothing's going to turn you away from it. And when he says no, can you be persistent and accept no? But God, I want this. Remember Balaam? God, Balaam wanted it so bad. God said, okay, go ahead and have it. Look what it cost him. Friends, that's not the way we need to be. We need to say, when God says no, he means no, and accept it and be persistent and not let your old nature come up and try to change God's mind. Yeah, but God, wouldn't we? What about if we did it this way? But God, I would really like to do this. How about if I do this and we try to finagle a way around to go ahead and do what we want to, even when he says no? He said, I don't want you to go there, but I really want to go. I don't want you to do this, but I really want to. And so we'll put it in some kind of a religious trappings. This is also why people, like, you know, they'll talk to the pastor. And the pastor says, this is, you know, counseling, this is not a good idea. And so what they'll do is they'll go ask another preacher. They get enough people, you know, well, brother so-and-so said it's okay, brother so-and-so said it's okay, and they'll try to find a way around it, because we don't want God's no's a lot of time. Because we just know better. We know we'd be happier with what we want. My. Let me finish up here. Let's see what I got. All right. He said, that's the only way you'll overcome. It's all that is under those shed blood is overcomers, because you cannot overcome yourself. It's he that overcomes for you. You're resting. How do I know then, Brother Branham, that I'm in there? Watch what kind of life you're living. Just look around. See if it just lived out of you automatically, or do you have to strain and pull? Then you're doing it, but don't try to do it. He said, it's just like putting a little baby's arm in a sleeve hole. He's up and down, over and everywhere. He can't do it. Put on your coat, honey. He can't do it. His little arms up and down and around. It takes your steady hand. Oh, how glad I am that I can just yield my hand to the Father and say, Lord Jesus, I can't get it in there. You help me. Put the coat on me. I quit trying. Just let him do it. Just let him be in control. You're trying to overcome this. You're trying to accomplish this. You're trying to do this. You're trying to do that. And so many times, the reason it's not happening is because we're trying to be in control instead of letting him have his way. That's just human nature. He said, now if the little baby keeps trying, oh, I can do it, I can do it. He's just everywhere. He can't do it. Neither can you, neither can I. If we just hold still and let him do it, just yield to him. Here, Lord, here I am. Just let me be nothing. I yield. I put my hand to the right place. I'm sorry. He said, you put my hand to the right place. That's the victory. That's overcoming. The thing you have to overcome is yourself, your ideas, your things. Surrender yourself. He overcomes for you. He knows the way. We don't. That's just all it is, friends. He knows how to. He knows what we need. He knows what's going to happen tonight. He knows where we're going to be tomorrow morning. He knows if you're going to live through the night or not. He knows what's going to happen next week. He's got it all in control. And all he's saying, will you please start trusting me instead of trying to do it on your own? Quit trying to figure it out. Quit worrying about this and stressing about that and trying to talk to this person and trying to get this person to do something over here. And all this kind of stuff we're trying to control, control, control. He says, I got this. He said, what are you worrying about? If it's in the hands of God, let go, for he will raise it up in the last day. He promised to do it. That's thus saith the Lord. It's written in his word. What are you scared about this then, this little old ship? He's in it. If he isn't, don't leave tonight until he comes in. It's a dangerous thing to try to sail without him. You'll be sunk, sure. He said, but you can't sink. And if you sink, he'll raise you up again. So what difference does it make? That's all it is, friends. What difference does it make if you trust him? Go ahead and stand. He said, but Brother Phil, when I do that, when I just let go, I feel like I'm out of control. That's where he wants you. He wants you to feel out of control. He wants you to feel like you don't know where to go the next step. Because you know what that causes you to do? Then you have to start trusting him. That's all he's looking for. That's why he puts us through so many things, so we quit trying to control it on our own. He says, I want to be in control. I know what needs to be done. And when you keep trying to do this on your own, you keep messing it up. Let me have control. I feel out of control. It's a scary place to be. It's the fear of the unknown, especially if we have a controlling nature. We have to be in control. We have to control my wife, my kids, my boss, everything, the situation. We got to be in control. That's why so many people are so terrified to look at the world around us, and it's out of control. It's gone crazy. It's insane. And that's why so many people are just so much mental illness going on, because they're living in constant fear. Friends, you don't have to live in constant fear. Just go ahead and get yourself out of control and trust that he knows what he's doing. That's where he wants you, out of control, so that you can trust him. It's not a fun place to be for our own nature. But it's a great place to be when you're in Christ. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful you would come. And Lord, give us a word for the night, something to encourage the people, Lord. Something to help us to see your mind, Lord Jesus, to know what it is that you have for us, Father. I just so thank you that you would come and speak, Lord Jesus. I pray this word would just have the effect it's supposed to have, Lord Jesus. Let people just think on it, Father, and let them just take it with them, Lord, and when the situations rise, to love you enough to let go, to love you enough that they say, even though it's not what I want, I want to make you happy. I want you to be happy. And then, Lord, when we have that approach, then you can take us and you can use us for what you want us to do. You can express yourself through these gifts, through these lives that you give us. I pray that you'd be with each one, Lord. Bless the ones who couldn't make it tonight. Lord, just keep your eyes on them too. Keep your hand there. And Father, watch over us as we go. Keep us safe, Lord. We ask this in your name.